So some of you have probably been asked before, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you heard that question before? I don't want to be fussy, but I've never been a fan of the question. Because the reality is, each one of us, every human being, has a relationship with Christ. The blood of Christ has redeemed all of humanity, of every race, tongue, and tribe, as the book of Revelation says. From the beginning of time to the end of time, every human person has been redeemed through the blood of Jesus the Lamb. And so every person has a relationship with Christ. Maybe for some, that relationship is strong. Maybe for others, they're struggling. For others, they're running from Him. And yes, there's even some who haven't had the good news proclaimed to them, who have never heard of Jesus. But every person is in a relationship with Christ. What Jesus is inviting us into is intimacy with Him. He's inviting us into a holy friendship. Listen to those powerful words in which the gospel began today. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Remain in my love. Each one of us, as friends of Christ, ought to let those words sink deeply into our hearts. I encourage you, when you receive our blessed Lord and Holy Communion today, let Jesus say those words to you. Let the Lord tell you that He loves you. But He loves you with a perfect love, the perfect love in which the Father loves Him. In His command to us, and it is a command, is to remain in His love, to keep our hearts open to receiving that love and being aware of it. So today's gospel is a continuation of last week's gospel. Right? The church has us reading John chapter 15. Last week we heard Jesus tell us, I am the true vine, you are the branches. Remain in me, apart from me, you can bear no fruit. And today, He tells us to love one another as He has loved us. Last week, seven times Jesus told us, remain in me. And today, four more times He says, remain in me. That means that in just this chapter of St. John, chapter 15, 11 times Jesus tells us to remain in Him. It must be pretty important, huh? It must be very important because He keeps repeating Himself. This isn't the only passage in the Scriptures, though, where Jesus uses the word remain. In fact, throughout the Gospel of St. John, Jesus uses it over 30 times to tell us that the essence of friendship with the Lord is remaining in Him. And this is the key to intimacy. So how do you and I remain in the Lord? Well, there's many ways. But I'm going to give you four ways from the Scriptures that you and I are called to remain in Christ and to grow in intimacy with Him. The first way is by remaining in His Word. It's through remaining in His Word. That's our call. Jesus says that if you remain in me and my word remains in you, Ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. Of course, if we remain in His Word, that means we're praying with the Word of God, and we're taking on the heart of Jesus in our prayer, which ultimately means that every prayer we make is a prayer of surrender, a prayer of asking for the strength to do not our will, but God's will. Right? Pope Benedict said that every genuine Christian prayer is a prayer that participates in the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, if it doesn't have this, it's not a Christian prayer. It's not prayed in Christ. And what's that prayer? Not my will, but thy will be done. But by remaining in his word, we grow in intimacy through a daily reading of the scriptures, especially before the Blessed Sacrament. That's one of the most powerful ways to pray, is to bring the scriptures into the adoration chapel before the face of Christ. The second way in which we can remain in Christ is through Holy Communion. Jesus says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." It's a powerful way of remaining in Christ. The Catechism tells us that Holy Communion deepens our union with Jesus. It wipes away venial sin, and it helps preserve us from future mortal sin. Because Christ is dwelling within us, and we become the very one whom we eat. A third way for us to remain in Christ is through prayer. We know where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, he promises to be there in our midst. And so by prayer, especially communal prayer, liturgical prayer, prayer with other believers in the name of Christ, we remain in the Lord. Jesus tells us, ask, knock. Knock at the door of his heart in prayer, and keep knocking until he opens that door of his sacred heart. And the fourth way to remain in Christ is through keeping his commandments. Right, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Commandments are not burdensome. We heard that last week in the epistle. What is his commandment? To believe in the one whom he sent, Christ, and to love as he loved. But obedience. I remember a couple years ago, I made a prayer of just total obedience to the Lord. And it triggered so many graces in my life. It was like a domino effect. All of a sudden, all of these things that I had been struggling to make sense of came together. Because if you read the scriptures, obedience is the number one thing God is asking of us. To trust him, to listen to what he asks of us. Right? And we hear through the whole story of the Old Testament, God does these mighty deeds. The Hebrews, they grumble, they whine, they complain. God sends some plagues their way. They repent. It happens again. They go into exile because they're unfaithful. God brings them back because he's merciful. Then it happens again. He's asking obedience of us. Jesus is the perfect example of obedience. He does his Father's will in everything. It's not enough for us, he's showing us, to think nice things and to have good intentions. He wants us in our lives to be obedient to his commandments. We are called to remain in the Lord. Of course, in remaining, I think there's one temptation that's very prevalent and very easy for any of us to fall into. And it comes to us in the story of the prodigal son. Remember the older brother, the one who does remain in the Father's house? He's the one who does the remaining. He abides in the Father's house. And yet, in the midst of remaining in the Father's house, he doesn't let himself be loved by the Father. And that, it becomes very clear in the way that he treats his father and the older brother when the younger brother returns. He resists his father's love and mercy. He becomes resentful and cynical and judgmental that his father would treat his brother with such kindness. He says, "After all, I've been with you this whole time and you've never even slaughtered a kid for me." That's a young goat, not children. And the father says, "My son, you have always been with me. Everything I have is yours." But the older son didn't get it. He didn't let himself be loved by the father. So it's possible for us to remain, to do all the right actions, but not to have let God the Father love us in his Son Jesus. That's why those words are so important for you and I to hear. "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Remain in my love." That's the secret of the saints, brothers and sisters. That's the secret to growing in holiness. To let God love you, and to live in constant gratitude for having been loved by God in Christ. That love is what keeps our hearts from becoming like that of the older brother and the prodigal son, who's resentful when the father shows love towards the younger brother. By remaining in Christ, in his friendship, Jesus promises us great joy. May it be so. Praise be Jesus Christ.